Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck. We're looking this week at some of the great challenges we're facing in our society and in our culture, trying to answer the question, what is happening around us and how to understand it from a spiritual perspective? There's a lot of different ways you can look at it and analyze it, but I think it's fair to say that one of the things that's happening is that the discipline of the Lord is on his church, and really his judgment is in the nations. The Lord is shaking the world. The Lord is shaking the nations. Why does he do that? To wake us up. Because much of the world is running head-on away from God, the rejection of God. God somehow is an obstacle. God is an adversary, if there even is one. Very little paying attention to God and the things of God. And it's bringing about, as it always does, and it's done many other times with other civilizations. You think about it, friends, every civilization that ever existed, I don't know how many have there been, like 32 or some identifiable civilizations, they've all come and gone. And St. Augustine, when asked about why civilizations die, he said, because eventually civilizations end up loving the wrong thing. C.S. Lewis, in his book Mere Christianity, said that every civilization begins with very high aspirations and good insight and noble goals. He said, but very shortly after it begins, it already begins to conk. He said, because what man tends to do is he tends to run it apart from God. He said, it's like a car that doesn't have any gas in it. He said, you can't run a car without gas. And he said, you can't run a social order, can't exist without the life of God in it. Because we're made by God, we're made for God, and the power that we have within us, a corrupting power. He said, what ends up happening is, if you look at every civilization, eventually all the bad people, he puts it something like that, corrupted people and proud, corrupted people who want control and power start rising to the top. And they start controlling. And then the very principles and values that were such an important part of the rise of that culture begin to break down, because those principles and rules stand in the way of the will of the people, these people who want to dominate and control. And this is where we are. I mean, I've read many times on the program St. Paul's letter to the Romans chapter 1, where he describes what happens when the human heart gets its way, so to speak, when the restrainers are thrown off. I'll read it to you here again. For verse 18 says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and wickedness of men who by their wickedness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. Ever since the creation of the world, this invisible nature, namely its eternal power and deity, has been clearly perceived in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give him thanks. But they became futile in their thinking, and their senseless minds were darkened. This is where we are, friends, right here, that there has been, and we've talked about it many times over the past few years in the program, just the insight of the recent popes and others have helped us understand the nature of the spiritual conflict that we're living through. You know, St. John Paul II described it as like we've entering the final confrontation between the gospel, the anti-gospel, the church, and the anti-church, you know, and all of God's people are called into this battle, and it lies within the plans of divine providence. So pointing the finger out, this is really a spiritual battle at the root. Even though it's working its way out on all levels of society, social, economic, political, and the rest, it has a deep spiritual root. Pope Benedict XVI describing it as to say that, you know, the faith is in danger today of dying out like a flame which no longer has fuel. He said, why do we see a kind of darkness growing? He said, because humanity's pushing God, who is light, from the human horizon. There really is no light apart from God. I mean, there's light and there's darkness, and God is light. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Humanity can't get a real hold on who we are, why we're here, and where we're going apart from God. We can't just make up our whole own moral system and our own reality, despite the fact that we're trying to do it. It doesn't work. And so as a result, because humanity is free, And we're either by decision going to be subject to the will of God or subject to the principalities and powers in this world. God allows in a certain way, at a certain point, he allows us to have what we insist on. We talked earlier in the week of the restrainers of conscience, of, you know, family life, of the social political order, of government, and the like. Well, people are throwing off those restrainers. That's a decision people are making. They're embracing a different worldview. They're going in a different direction. And every step we make in that direction, our minds get darker and darker, our wills get weaker and weaker, and we begin to do what, again, what Augustine said, we start to love the wrong thing. Verse 22, and for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give him thanks, but they became, as I said, became futile in their thinking and their senseless minds were darkened. Why is there so much confusion that's leading to so much disorder, that's leading to so much violence and the complete lack of understanding of what it means to be human and to be a family and the like? Because our senseless minds, God gave us over. He's giving our society over. Its judgment is upon us. God is allowing us to experience, and we're going to go through, I think, a very significant period of real tribulation and real serious trial. Not just here in the United States, but in many places around the world, the shaking is not over. The shaking, in some ways, has just begun. Because we're choosing to live with darkened minds. Claiming to be wise, they became fools, and they exchanged the glory of immortal God for images resembling mortal man, animals. Men are by nature, human beings are by nature, worship creatures. We're going to worship something. We're going to put something out there. And we're going to have idols. If it's not God, we're going to idolize something else and totally give ourselves to it. It's going to be lower than who we are, what we are as human beings. We're the crown of creation, made to know God. Verse 24, then he goes on to say, therefore, God gave them up to the lusts of their hearts, to impurity, dishonoring of their bodies. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and they worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator. For this reason, God gave them up. Three times, Paul tells it. This is how it happens. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. First of all, he gives us up to the impurity that we're choosing. We fall into idolatry, which is the suppression of truth about God, which is the fundamental sin that he's pointing to here. And when that gets rooted in us, we become slaves then to the idolatrous lifestyle that we're choosing. We may think it's good. We call it good. We call darkness light, but this is fundamentally what's going on. For that reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. Their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural. And men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another. Men committed shameless acts with men and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. So here Paul describes it as natural human sexual relations, which a blind man can see that sexuality is tied to reproduction, to not only union, but also to babies, to reproduction, to family life. It's the foundational reality of society. It's the thing, the church and family are the two great things that God himself has established in the earth. But when our minds become darkened, we can't see that. And the passions are released, and disordered passions get released in us. We can see those disordered passions everywhere in society. Here it gets expressed as homosexuality, but then it goes on far beyond that to greater depravity of one kind after another. They were filled with all manner of wickedness, evil, covetousness, malice, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, slander, hatred for God, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's decree that those who do such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but approve those who practice them. This is a description of where we are. And the pressure in the culture is to call some of this good. Going back to what I said yesterday, this is really an important time for us because as human beings, in the readings we're seeing all week long here in 1 John, John says, you know, God is love. And all of us were made to love God. The first commandment, the first and greatest thing, is to give to God what belongs to God. And there's no loving God without obeying God. This is the rub. This is what human beings don't like. Jesus came, the crown of it all, Jesus, the Lord of all, he came and said, no, this is food. This is life. I'm the light of the world. I'm the way. I'll show you, okay? I'll show you the way to fulfillment, to happiness. I will show you the way to life and light and full joy and freedom. Follow me. It's the way of obedience. Obedience to God's commandments. And it begins with God first. Loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And he's not talking about an emotion, though emotions are a part of it. He's fundamentally talking about the love language of heaven. If you love me, you'll obey my commands. Period. That's it. Some people are going to say, Lord, I said, Lord, Lord, I spoke the words. But Jesus said, because you didn't do it, you didn't follow in my footsteps and obey my commands and put my Father first. I don't even know you. So today in countries like the sad thing in Ireland that happened, we talked about, the embracing of abortion and tens of thousands of people in the streets of that former Catholic country dancing, singing, celebrating. Celebrating what? Celebrating the murder of the innocent. That's a darkened mind. They can't even see the value to say, even though John Paul II had been there, God sent his prophet and other prophets as well. Here's John Paul II. Back in 1979, he went and said, and so I say to all of you here in Ireland, have an absolute and holy respect for the sacredness of human life from the first moment of its conception. Abortion, as the Second Vatican Council stated, is one of the abominable crimes. To attack unborn life at any moment from its conception is to undermine the whole moral order, which is the true guardian and the well-being of man. The social order, the moral order is being undermined, and therefore its role as the guardian and the well-being of man is being willfully undermined. He said, may Ireland never weaken in her witness. Well, she did weaken. She caved in. And then she ended up celebrating it and then saying anybody who disagreed with it, there was something wrong with them. And so that's the voice of the enemy. That's a demonic force celebrating the sacrifice and the killing of children. That's what the devil's after. That's what he wants to do. And we're society and its laws and rules are celebrating it as liberation and freedom. And the same thing is happening, friends, with the whole redefinition of human sexuality and every form of gender and expression, and everything has to be affirmed. As soon as someone stands up and says, this is me, this is who I am, then society's pressures to say, celebrate it, accept it, affirm it, because everybody has the power to what? To define their own reality and create themselves. And then the pressure comes in, this false love, that if you don't affirm it, celebrate it, you don't love me. And these are huge lies. There's two big lies. A friend of mine once said, if you disagree, here's the lie. If you disagree with someone's lifestyle choice, you must fear them or hate them. It's not true. Second is that to love someone means you agree with everything they believe or do. That's nonsense as well. You don't have to compromise your convictions to be compassionate. And we know, as I said yesterday, scripture's clear. Love never rejoices in what's wrong. There's no true love if you're affirming, celebrating, rejoicing in things that are offensive to God. It's a very, very dangerous place. And that's the sick place we're in. And that's why God's judgments are here. God's judgments come to remove all that hinders authentic love. God wants real freedom. We're made for love. We're made for God, but we can't make up what we think love is if it's radically different than God. It harms us. God bless you, friends. I hope you can join me tomorrow.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.